Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So that's probably like the craziest thing I've ever done is ride a horse drunk in urine-soaked jeans from Air Apostle.
Gay ass podcast orders. That is right. That's a gay ass podcast. The podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? I am Eric Williams, and this week we've got Dakota Rott, the Southern gay belle that you have seen eat at every American chain restaurant in the country with his gorgeous husband, Jackson. Yes, we get into their relation, the influencing of it all, Bravo villains, and more. But first, there's kind of like a lot of fooking stuff happening behind the scenes of the pod. First things first, the Netflix is a Joke Festival is already a month away, so the Gay Ass Live show is happening May 9th, and get your tickets because the lineup is coming together, and trigger warning, you will gag. The other exciting news, BTS, is merch, bitch. I've been working for literally months with the sexy, charming, amazing Rooney, the designer, on four new designs for Gay Ass Podcast merch. And it's not like shirts that say Gay Ass Podcast. It's like cute fucking shit. So they are going to be put on sale hopefully on Monday of next week. So look out for that. And you're going to want to get your hands on some really hot, funny designs. Finally, we just hit 80 subscribers on the Patreon listening to those Gay Ass Sex Diaries, which 80 might not sound like a lot, but it's huge to me. I thought getting to 100 was going to be impossible, but I think we're going to get there sooner than I realize. This week's Gay Ass Sex Diary is my favorite thus far, and there's going to be a 10-minute clip after Dakota's interview, but the full thing is at patreon.com/gayasspodcast, and this week the subject is not anonymous, and he is so hot. It's Connor Tierney, and the ep is called The Verse Top Who Sent a Married Man to the Hospital. Get into it. And we're going to get into this episode with Dakota Rott. We discuss his messiest slut period, his favorite fast food resto, and at the end of the ep, I spill one of my favorite quote-unquote kinks, because the Patreon is infiltrating the main pod. Sorry! That's a Gay Ass Podcast with Dakota, and for to drink, it's this gorgeous glass of water. Dakota, thank you for coming on this Gay Ass Pod.
Thank you for having me. I'm so done. So back to what you were saying, I love saying for to anything, okay? Like at this point, it's like for to drive, for to sleep, for to shop, like for to anything.
Wait, for to sleep, I'm going to have the melatonin gummy. And if I subconsciously speak in a Southern accent during any part of this interview, are you angry? Are you hurt?
No, as long as you don't say that I sound like I'm from Alabama.
I would never. God. I mean, although okay. Anybody who is listening from Alabama, we love you. But
North Carolina accents are not as bad.
Sure. I find myself, I don't know if you do this, but you know when you're like in a different country that speaks a different language and you just start to pretend that you are fluent when you're not? I do that yes. When I also am in a Southern state, or I do it with my in-laws are in Georgia. I start talking like this without even trying to. And then my husband's like, you're offensive. And I'm just like, no, I'm just studying abroad.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of,
it kind of wears on you.
It does. And
it doesn't wear off until you leave.
Exactly. So now, Dakota, for the rest of this interview, I'm going to give you some questions with a side of ranch. Dakota, so much to discuss. I've got a gay-ass list for you. So the first thing I want to ask is, I like to start out with a controversial question. And the controversial question is, obviously, you have so many great videos online with the food you're eating, with very vulnerable takes, which we'll get into. But one of your most vulnerable takes is you put jelly on before the peanut butter on a PB&J. Dakota, explain yourself.
There's nothing wrong with that. So when I posted that video, well, when I made the video, I mean, that's how I make my sandwich. It's easier to mix it together. Like, who is rubbing peanut butter on both sides and then rubbing jelly on, like, that's too much. Like, I'm
who's mixing though? Who is mixing? Why can't your mastication mix it in your mouth detation?
Well, I was gonna say it's gonna get mixed anyways. So wait, I might as well just do it now. I don't know. You should see the inside of a peanut butter jar here. Like, it's got jelly all up inside of it. It's so bad.
That sounds like a
euphemism. It's like I use the same knife.
But by the way, isn't it so empowering to know as an adult, your peanut butter jar can be as messy boots as you wish? I feel like as a kid, like when it's your parents' rules, it's very gauche. But you're what, 30 something? You can have as messy of a jar as you want.
I'm 31.
Bitch.
Yeah, nobody's checking my peanut butter jar except for Jackson.
Well, you and Jackson are such a stunning couple, and I have a lot to discuss when it comes to your backstory. But for anyone who doesn't follow you, who should be now, is you obviously go to all these different restaurants. You and Jackson talk about your orders, but it's in the most like silly gay ass way. Before I ask about specific restaurant takes, because we are going to go there, can you give me the BTS on like the job of it all? I, as a gay person putting out gay content, would love to know how you have made this twerk.
Well, I mean, I'm still kind of like trying to figure it out now. You know, when we started doing this, we just did it like once a week, and everybody on TikTok was kind of doing it. And I just kind of wanted to jump in on the fun. And then we kept doing it and everyone stopped and we just kind of kept going. So now it's kind of like my thing. And it got to the point to where like the videos were longer. You know, we had more jokes. We were including, not including people. And brands would just like reach out to me and want me to not even review their food. They just want me to go order something, you know, that's new on the menu. Yeah. And just show it on camera. So it's really like this sweet spot where a brand doesn't have to make sure that I like something or not. They don't want me to try it on camera, but I will not do a video for a paid collab somewhere that I don't fuck with like that. Like, we're not doing Golden Corral or anything like that for a paid collab.
We have limits and boundaries, mama. I have noticed when you post these videos, like a lot of time it seems like it's just you and Jackson going to the places, you know, like Chili's orders. Uh-huh. Is Chili's paying you?
No. So I've done like paid collabs with them, uh-huh, but shockingly, they've never wanted me to do a Chili's order. Like, they've always wanted me to do like a vlog, or uh-huh, they want me to go and, you know, like do a close up of certain items on the menu. They've never asked me to go and do like the normal organic thing.
But
which is fine with me.
Other places have, where they're like,
yeah. Yeah, TGI Friday is probably the biggest one.
Do you have to put on those videos? I'm really getting in the weeds here, but do you have to put on those videos, like the ad of it all? Or okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus, like, we're not Michaela Makeup, okay? Like, I'm not going to get on here and lie to people about my brand deals and stuff like that. I hate that so much.
Oh, me too. But I think that's what I like to talk. It's why I like to talk to people like you and really get into the BTS, because it's an interesting time that we live in where we have a lot of autonomy to create our own shit and also build a business off of it that actually does bring joy to people's lives. And so I think that's why it's admirable that you are open to talking about it, because it is inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's not something that everyone can do. And I think the influencer space gets a lot of flack because there are a lot of monsters in the space. So there's also a lot of people who are content creators who really do bring just like pure joy. And that, I think you are putting, I think you're putting a good face on like the creator space.
Well, thank you.
I mean, what a stunner.
I do it because it's fun. Like, you know, now I do like all kinds of different videos, and I do it because it's fun. And if I can make a brand deal out of it, or if the app is going to pay me for, you know, like a certain amount of views, then it's really just like a paid hobby.
For sure. Well, what you're not paid is to be a gay person, but you do have to blame someone. So Dakota, I'm going to ask you the famous podcast question. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
So I'm blaming Tyra Banks and America's Next Top Model, because all, you know, I sat and thought about this in all those years that I had nobody to play with, right? Because I had no friends in school, no family members my age. I was at home watching reruns of America's Next Top Model on CW, Miss J. Alexander, all them. I'm blaming all them.
Miss J is a huge part of the success of the ANTM universe.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you always want to walk like Miss J walked? And I'm sure you tried.
Oh, I was literally like in my room twirling. And like when they would do photo shoots, like in like water, or like they had like the super, you know, like crazy things, I would try to recreate it myself with like my little Nikon. And it would never turn out right.
By the way, I think we did grow up in a time where, because the phone cameras were not as accessible, we had to make do with our Nikons. And I also had one of those like brick cameras. A friend of mine, we would create home videos that were, you know, debatably cancelable because of some of our, the quote-unquote short films we would make, just like being like offensive jokes. But you had to create your own magic, and I'm sure your Nikon camera captured you serving cunt.
Oh, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I would lock myself in like the guest bedroom because it was neat, and I would like record myself doing all kinds of stuff.
I love that. Is there, when you think about the Tyra Banks of it all, is it that you enjoyed her ability to be so unhinged, like when she passed out and told the girls that they were going to like Bangkok or something?
That was so dumb. And you know, I didn't realize how much of a meme or how dumb it was until I got older, you know. But one of the episodes I do remember watching like vaguely as a kid was the one where she's like, do you know how to say magnetic, and it's magenta or something? Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's like a clip.
Very vaguely.
She's like, yeah, she's like reading off of a prompter, and then she would like really drastically hand out the photos.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was
at
home doing all that shit. Yeah.
Well, that to me was such a good peek. Speaking of BTS, like, I love watching the models have to do a commercial shoot. There's another clip where there's a model who's like, she has to walk through a whole party and like
Jade.
And Jade. And she had to like kind of improvise with the people holding the drinks and the guests. And it's just, the editors knew what they were doing when they gave us that like 7-minute commercial take.
Oh, they absolutely did.
You've also posted that you wear and use a ton of pink because you were not allowed to as a kid. So you're like healing your inner child. So when I think about you in these ANTM days, can you paint the picture of what was a young closeted Dakota? Were you so gay that you had to come out in high school, or did you wait?
Well, I've never really like been in the closet, you know, like even in middle school when people would ask me if I was gay, I would just say I don't know, or just be like, why does it matter? Because I didn't know what it was. Like, the label was kind of given to me more before I figured out what it was.
Yeah.
Just because of like my mannerisms and stuff. But yeah, I mean, the picture is just me in like a little tank top and little short shorts. There's pictures of me online somewhere on one of my socials of me in like pink dresses and shit. And I had like blonde hair. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened when I hit puberty. It turned like brown.
She it's just you're a versatile queen when it comes to hair couleur. You also tweeted, there was a prompt that says, what happened in 2004? And you tweeted, I was a little gay boy at home wishing I was Lindsay Lohan. So
that was me. Yeah.
What part of Lindsay did you want to be? Was it Parent Trappy? Was it Mean Girly?
I've always just had, like, I've been drawn to her ever since Parent Trap. And I know this is like low-key kind of fucked up for me to say, but like, I even live for her downfall, you know, because I feel like she's so strong and she got through it. And like, you know, 2004 to what, 2008 was like the era of pop culture.
Oh yeah.
And that was me at home reading all the tabloids, reading the blogs. There was like some New York blog that people would write about like Tinsley Mortimer. I was reading all that. Like, I was into all of it. So that's what I was doing as a kid, like Maybe I need to blame that pop culture for being gay and not Tyra Banks.
Well, I love that you're so Bravo forward in a lot of your posting as well, because I'm also a girly that loves the universe. But do you...
Who's your favorite housewife, like, of all time? And this is going to tell me a lot about you.
Oh, Jesus H. What a test. My favorite housewife of all. And here's the question back to you so I can narrow down. Is it someone that was in their heyday of housewifery or that has continued to be my favorite to this day?
Well, just think like overall performance, like their heyday, how they are now, if they're still on the show, like... Their heyday could be so good that, like, they could totally be a flop now.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they still be on top.
Okay, so my answer has changed. It used to be, and it's no longer this, but you can probably guess that it used to be Bethany Frankel, because in her heyday, I know, in her heyday, though, on the show, she knew how to deliver television. She knew how to rile up the girls and could read a bitch down flat. However...
She's fucking insufferable. I can't stand her.
Oh, talk about downfall.
You know what? You know what? I'm just going to say this now because she's probably going to listen to this or somebody will clip it or something and she'll go on a rant about it. But she literally has an ED and she's on TikTok promoting it all the time. I've had to block her. I can't deal with it anymore. Like, it's so triggering to me. And it's a little embarrassing to watch at her old ass age, you know?
Oh, I do know. I just wonder, like... At what point is she going to hit a public rock bottom where she has no choice but to get help? That's what I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Because she's always been, you know, quote unquote little, you know, on the show.
Yeah.
But like now that she's on TikTok, you know, and I can talk about this stuff because I've had two eating disorders. And so, you know, people try to get upset with me when I like really go there. But like I've been there, you know, so I just feel like she shouldn't be online giving the advice that she's giving, you know, to probably young girls that scroll across her videos and see them.
Absolutely.
She is a public figure. Like,
yeah. And when you think when history books look back on her and think that a woman with such a public ED on the internet had a company called Skinny Girl. It feels like a 30 Rock
skinny popcorn.
I mean,
skinny this. I mean, her popcorn is gross. Her dressings are nasty. The margarita mix is nasty. Like, give it up.
That dressing indulge is a little bit. No Newman's Own, honey.
It sure ain't. But anyways, we got side rail. I just can't stand. So her and Vicky are probably my top two most hated. I can't stand them.
But again, cannot the tough stand thing about Vicky is she had a heyday. But I agree that she's become monstrosity. Monster. Isn't there like a career website called Monster? She became monster.biz. I think that my all-time favorite would probably be a mix between... A cross between NeNe Leakes or the one that you are probably not going to like about me, but I'm a public Kyle Richards apologist.
There's nothing wrong with that. I like Kyle.
Oh, thank God.
And I love NeNe. Yeah, no, I like Kyle. I don't think she does a good job at trying to play the fence very well.
Yeah.
Like she's always on everybody's side, you know.
Also watching, especially like being a gay podcast host, I'm watching her clearly be in love with Morgan Wade and then not publicly proclaiming that. That's been a little tough because we know at the minimum they had an emotional affair.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, but I get it. She's from that generation, you know, Kathy, and then everyone else that she has to like, you know, impress. Whether she wants to admit it or not.
And that's a funny thing that I think kind of like transcends the housewives talk for anyone that doesn't even, you know who these people are that's listening now, which I'm sure most of you do. But there's Matt, my husband forced me to watch the Mauricio Netflix show with, you know, the real estate moment. Mm-hmm. And watching Mauricio talk to his daughters about separating, being in separation from their mother. And they were so upset that they found out via TMZ and not through from their parents. And then he just said, well, I thought your mom told you. And then hearing about how bad their communication has been during all of their issues, it really like comes to mind the generational gap of how our therapized generation at least knows when we're in crisis that we need to process it. Where I feel like a lot of our parents' generation or that age still is dealing with the ramifications of not actually confronting what is going on within themselves or with their partner.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's actually kind of a beautiful segue to talking about you and Jackson, because I love the dynamic between you two. But in doing my research, I had forgotten that Jackson proposed to you during the Watch What Happens Live after show. And that
he did
is iconic.
I know. And I didn't even know, like, it was going to happen. Like, you know, I kind of had a feeling he was going to propose, because we had just went to, like, look at rings and stuff like that right before. But we had had this trip planned to New York, like, for a long, long time. And really, we were just going to go to Times Square and to go to the Wendy show, because I'm in love with Wendy Williams. And thank God, over a 3-day trip, we got to go twice.
To Wendy?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You we got so, so lucky. I know.
You witness herstory, because we miss that show.
I know. We really do. But he said he DM'd Andy and asked for tickets for the show. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is so cool. So we sit through the whole show. Nothing happened. Then they, like, stop and go to do the after show. And at that point, like, I thought maybe something was going to happen. But when the show wrapped and nothing happened, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it'll happen later. Maybe it'll happen on Wendy. And or, you know, I didn't know. Maybe it'll happen at a restaurant, Times Square. I didn't know. But then Andy just stopped his, like, mid-show and was like, is there a Jackson in the audience? And I'm like, and I didn't know what it was going to be, like, because, you know, I love Kate and Captain Lee from Below Deck, and they were the guest. And I was like, well, maybe he did, like, a little meet and greet or something. But then it finally registered when he went up there. Yeah. I'm such an idiot. I'm telling you, my GPA was good, but, like, I ain't got a lick of common sense or any kind of, like, situational awareness or nothing.
Dakota, I'm not joking. I am a proud dumb person with an academic background. My marital spouse will tell you the same thing. Like, my sense of direction, I cannot find my way back to a table at a restaurant.
Mm-mm.
It's but again, we know our way around a fraction. We know our way around.
Oh yeah,
you know. But
if somebody wanted me to, like, amortize a mortgage right now in front of them, I could. But, like, if you want to ask me how to get down the street, I'm like, girl, I don't know. Type it in your phone.
Well, let me make
you know?
One thing clear. I cannot amortize a mortgage. So you've got me beat on that. But I love a fast math. I love a term paper. But yeah, no, I am a proud. And by the way, I think we probably both have great people skills. Can read a human.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the empath thing going for us. But there's a certain stupidity that I definitely possess.
Same.
You have also posted regarding your relation. People in my DMs asking for relationship advice. I have none to give other than be yourself. Don't settle at all, but compromise is different. And it should always be me plus you, never me versus you. Learn to relax, stop searching for passion, and look for connection. Dakota, you're dropping some truths.
Yeah, so, like, you know, I own the fact, like, a lot of people locally in the gay community in the South is very small. You know, I own the fact that I used to be a hoe. I wouldn't say I was, like, a pass around, but, you know, like, I've dated and I've been there, done that, tried this, tried that, you know. And I think when I started to, like, reflect on all my previous relationships that had, like, some kind of substance, there was always, like, this intense amount of passion and never, like, a true connection. Not to say that me and Jackson don't have passion, because we do.
Of course.
But, like, our connection kind of, like, overpowers that, which then in turn makes the passion a little better.
Well, also, I think it's a testament to when you're with someone for a long time. I mean, you two have been together, what, for, like, 4 or 5 years?
Longer than that. I think this year is either our 9th or 8th year.
Okay, I did the math wrong. Well,
but we've been married for 4.
Oh, there you go. When you've been together for that long, it's, if there isn't the connection, then it's a truly what are we doing here moment. And I think that it's, what's the word I'm looking for? I think it's really
admirable.
No, I think it's awful. I'm kidding. I think it's really, oh, here's what it is. I think it's really insightful to say the difference between the passion and the connection, because especially in the era when you're able to meet so many people with the apps and just like with the social media and seeing so many people around, I think it is easy to look for the passion first. But me being me, if you mention the phrase ho phase, I'm going to ask you about it. Were you...
Go for it.
Oh, by the way, you live in Charlotte, correct?
Yes. So, a little, it's not like a little town, but it's a suburb of Charlotte called Huntersville.
So that
Renee
is...
Rapp is from here.
Oh.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And that gives a whole, that's a horse of a different color. I'm going to say this. I usually don't like to say this type of BTS, but I feel safe with you and we deserve. Renee Rapp is one of those people who I have grown to obsess over. And I did try to get her on the podcast and I recently did receive a no. However, it was a no for now, and we're going to manifest that me meeting Dakota of NC is going to give me this lesbian.
Maybe.
Bitch. Your hoe phase in the gay South was this, how would you characterize it in terms of, were we on a grinder bender? Are we on a gay bar rector?
Not really like a gay bar rector, because we don't have that. Well, so I grew up in a town called Winston-Salem once I turned 18. And so that's where I lived. And there was one gay bar. You didn't want to be there. I mean, it was not good. And then Greensboro, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Greensboro.
Oh, yeah, North
Carolina,
that's pretty gay, but right?
It is now.
Yeah.
Back then, it was not. I mean, we had like one straight club that did a gay night. Mm-hmm. So like the bar scene has never really been that girl. So yeah, it was like Facebook. There was another website. I think it was called, it's still out. It's like where you answer the questions and you can like see what your match is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. It's like on the tip of my tongue. So I would use that. And then Grindr was there, but like, you would scroll and it would be like nobody for like 200 miles just because.
Blank grid bonanza.
Yeah. I mean, it's different now. Like when my friends are on it and I'm like, let me see that. You can like swipe pictures now. Like it's cause back the last time I was on it, like you couldn't do anything like that.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
So then you met these people via the sites and then mm-hmm. Did you like to host or travel?
I would usually travel mainly because I lived at home.
Oh, sure, sure.
And I'm a Southern lady, so you don't bring anyone back unless you're going to marry them.
You're a Southern lady, so you go to get fooked in their living room.
Yeah.
Did you have a specific type of men's that you were going for?
No. So, like, even now, you know... I would say I tend to like lean more towards like muscles with like a little bit of what they call beef, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, like a beefy guy. I don't want anybody that's as small as me. But I think like when I was like trying to figure like my sexual life out, then I was like willing to try pretty much anything and everybody that I just found attractive. You know, I find it so weird when people have these hangups where they're like, oh, like, no short guys. Oh, I don't do glasses. Oh, they have a mustache. You know, like, I'm just like, this is, like, why does that stuff matter?
Yeah,
like,
no,
I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
Well, it's also,
I think people are too uptight.
I think so, too. And I think people also decide one thing, and then they feel like they can't evolve past that decision. And
1,000%.
I also get made fun of sometimes by my friends by them saying like, I want to fuck everyone. But like, sorry, I just think people are beautiful. But I'm also like a horny girlina that can find a lot of men attractive. Sorry.
Yeah, I think everybody has like something about them that sets them apart from everyone else. You know, like we got to stop lumping people into like categories. Because like my husband is buff, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then like, and I love it, but then I go to like Gold's Gym or something and see somebody with like the veins and all. I'm not into that. You know, I'm into muscles, but I'm not into that.
Yeah, but I
could be if it was like somebody different, just not that, you know, so it's all situational hotness is what I like to call it.
Situational hotness is a very spot on phrase. The other thing that you're very, very good at is making our mouths water with these four to drink videos. So let's get into some food talk with Dakota Wright.
Let's do it.
You have been to many gorgeous American chain restaurants. Now, recently when I was going through through the vids, I found easily Sonic, IHOP, Cheesecake Factory, Taco Bell, Chipotle, Red Robin, Longhorn, Olive Garden, and the list continues. Dakota, if you had only one more meal before they put you in the electric chair, where's she going?
Okay, first of all, I'm arguing. I'm getting two meals. One is fast food. One is fast casual.
Okay.
Now that that's settled. Fast casual, going to Chili's. That's my death row. I want one of everything on the menu.
That's fast casual.
One of everything. Yeah.
One of everything. Wait, before you answer fast food, can you tell me why have I not been to Chili's, I don't think?
You've never been to a Chili's?
If I have, it was like one time in 11th grade.
Oh, it's so much better now. I mean, their chicken tenders are not as good as they used to be. They got rid of the original formula, but I mean, they're still great. Oh my God, I love Chili's. I could eat it like three times a week.
Oh, wow. I'm excited for my Chili's moment. Okay, so now we go to fast food.
Okay, have you ever heard of Cookout?
Have I ever? I have had a few stints in the South when I was doing a little traveling musicale, and those milkshakes...
Yeah, that's my fast food pick. And for anybody listening that hasn't been there, I'm so sorry. You got to find where one is and just drive to it.
The South,
you just
got to
get in the car and drive.
They know their fast food options. What's your go-to? Mm-hmm. What are we for to eat at Cookout?
Cookout? So I get a big double burger tray. So I'll eat anything, but I usually get this tray. A big double burger tray with everything on it, except for the lettuce. So hold the lettuce. I don't like it.
Okay.
It's usually wilted. And then I get the chicken quesadilla and the white cheddar cheese bites. And then I get the walk-in taco, which is just like a Dorito bag, like crushed up with like ground beef and sour cream in it.
Oh.
It's so good. And then I get a cheer wine for to drink. And then if I'm feeling a little crazy, I'll get a Butterfinger milkshake.
Oh my God.
And I will eat it all in one sitting.
Yes, you will. There's something about even just picturing the menu of a Cookout with all the options that you can put into a milkshake, the Butterfinger of it all,
you can mix them.
Oh yeah. That's the thing that I love about watching your videos too, is it makes me go back to my favorite experiences there. Like when I used to drive to a Sonic and then just sit and hope that they would come out in the roller skates and then be able...
They walk now, bitches. Lazy. I want them on the rollerblade.
Yeah. Where the fuck are the scooter wheels, bitch?
I don't want the four blades. I want the inline skates coming out there.
Wait, why do you need inline?
Because I don't like the four. Come on now. Like
four blades is giving grease. You're the one that I twant.
Well, like the four wheels, I mean, I don't know what the name of those are called. I need the inline so I can like kick when I'm skating.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So now we're like, you are the Sonic server.
I'm literally the Sonic server.
Yeah, bitch.
That would be an iconic series. Could you imagine, like, if I went and worked, not me cosplaying as like fast food folks.
Well, it's giving like Gwyneth Paltrow putting on a fat suit a little bit. It's giving a little seeing how the other half lives as the fast food workers,
which is usually always falling on deaf ears. So
exactly, but I think there's a way to do that that would really actually be iconic.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
And what I do love about these videos, too, is you, and like you mentioned before, are really honest about your history with food stuff. And can you talk about how you, where you're at on your journey with creating content that is about the love of food, but also your history with it, and how you balance the difficulty of that with putting out, you know, this positive content?
Yeah. I'll start out by saying when I first started these videos, I wasn't in a great place. Mm-hmm. I would still, like, I would restrict, like, really bad, like, 5 days a week. Mm. And then the other two, I would go out. One of those two, we would film the videos. And now I'm at a place where I'm never going to say I'm healed, okay? Like, I dealt with anorexia. I do think I'm healed from that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever going to be healed for the binge eating, because I do still track my calories and stuff like that. It comes from, like, a more of a control thing. But I do let myself go over, yeah, you know, what they say. But now I just eat whatever the fuck I want every day, and it's either on camera or not. And I just take it meal by meal instead of trying to worry about it.
Of
you know,
course.
So like, I would say I'm like 95% of the way there, but I don't think I'm ever going to be like 100.
Which I think is a really healthy perspective to have, because it can be a slippery slope for anyone dealing with any sort of difficulty. If you say, all right, I'm all done, and then the work stops, because of course we're wired the way we're wired based on a lot of different factors. And the control thing for you, it's relatable, because I also, I think I have a sense of control that really where my anxiety comes from. I mean, I literally these days am waking up with like pretty fast thoughts about what I should be doing, either for work stuff or personal stuff. And I think for me, it does stem from the control of it all. Do you think any part of that control for you has anything to do with growing up queer, or where do you think the control comes from?
Yeah. So I do think it's like directly correlated. So I'm in therapy regularly. Mm-hmm. I go probably once or twice a month. I was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive personality disorder. And I had no idea that was even a thing, like, different than OCD.
Yeah.
And I think it manifested, just, you know, based off the work in therapy, I think it manifested itself as a very young queer kid. Mm. Always worried about people looking, always worried about, you know, how's my voice going to be? How am I going to stand? You know, whatever. And I think that's how it all started. And then I think it plays into the food and,
yeah, well, it's,
and all that.
It's even more impressive to see you grow into living so authentically, because the world, especially when you're in a place like the South or where I grew up in the Midwest, where whether they want this to be the message or not, the message is, how now, brown cow, don't be a homo sow. It's like you, anything we have that is leaning towards being gay or being who we are, it's like, no, that's bad, and please
I'm gonna hone in on that shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hone in on it. Yeah.
We I think as adults, and I like that you've said this in some of your work online, which is like, you're healing your inner child. You are almost, it feels like in a way, a positive rebellion. And I think that sometimes for us queer adults, it can be one of the most healing things to do, which is the fuck you is being as twirly whirly as we can be.
I know. And I think hearing you say that, I think the biggest twirly whirly I've ever done is get the pink car, you know, because like, I've always wanted a pink car, you know, because I mean, if you were to walk in my house right now, like, everything's glittery.
Yeah.
You know, I've got like glitter sunglasses, everything's bedazzled, cups, you fucking name it. Right. But I think that was like the ultimate, like, okay, I'm here. Like, I don't care anymore. you know.
What is Jackson's relationship to all of the pink and the twirly whirly? I mean, he also seems to be like a magical unicorn too. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, like, our coming into queerhood journeys a lot different.
Yeah.
We both went to like elementary school, middle school, and high school in Southwest Virginia. Mm. His high school, though, was like a fraction of mine. So I know at that point he went through a lot of stuff that I didn't.
Because there was more attention on him, you mean?
Yeah. Because his mom was a principal, and I think his graduating class had like 80 people.
Yeah.
If that. So anything he did was, you know, like analyzed. And he'll probably correct me later, but I think he didn't feel like he could fully be his queer self until he moved away. Whereas like with me, I just kind of accepted it and was like, fuck it, I'm here, I can't go anywhere. You're going to get what you're going to get, you know, and I'll figure it out as I go.
It is what it is, Santa, as Mariah Carey once said. Absolutely. No, I actually, I relate to Jackson because my graduating class was quite small as well. And it's not something I really have taken too much time to think about. But my school experience, I not only had a small class, but I also had a straight twin brother who was could supply an exact comparison to what I wasn't. And what I wasn't was like an athletic straight guy who was good at chemistry, good at all the other stuff. But God, he did AP Chem and I don't understand it. But it's very, very interesting to have these peaks into, especially growing up in places and living in places that are not these giant gay cities, but still being able to thrive and drive our pink cars. The other thing, though, that we need to discuss for this gay-ass podcast is the next famous podcast question, which is, Dakota Wright, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
I feel like it's just got to be so obvious. Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, and can you say her name one more time so we can hear the last name again?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, Coolidge. Say it one more time.
Coolidge.
No, you said it differently the first
Coolidge.
Time. There you go. Coolidge. Coolidge. Jennifer Coolidge. I love the answer.
Loved her.
And by the way, if I may say, you and Jennifer Coolidge could also like be like in the same family.
Oh my God, we totally could. So like people, so here's the thing. Let me break this down for you. So here's the thing. Like, Jackson is a little funnier on his delivery, but when it comes to, like, day-to-day moments where you're just, like, you can't fucking turn away, I'm the one that the camera needs to be on, kind of like Jennifer Coolidge, you know, because just everything she does is so unintentionally funny.
I mean, we have to go back to the video that was the video of the moment for months, which is the slow pan up of the camera and then her going... Hi.
Yeah. Like, I did this video where we were in Olive Garden and there's like a margarita right here. And I'm just like, you know, and Jackson was like, don't post that. Like, nobody's going to laugh. And I'm like, okay. And then I post it and it gets almost 4 million views. So suck on that, you know, just because I just felt, I mean, that's just the kind of shit I do on a daily basis.
Well, by the way, separate of the Jennifer Coolidge of it all, I do love the inside scoop into the dumb fights we have with our menses, in especially when it comes to like the doubt and then what actually does do well, because the amount of times I've had a stupid idea that Matt was like, do not, that is insane. And sometimes we gotta honor our bussy truth. Jennifer Coolidge for me is a stunning answer for you, because I envision gay Legally Blonde, and I think Dakota Wright would absolutely... Would you play the Jennifer Coolidge role, or would you be Elle?
1,000%. I would be Jennifer Coolidge. I would be her in Legally Blonde. I would be her in White Lotus. Like... I mean, that's me. Like, you would give me a script and want me to act and I wouldn't be able to do it. But if you just were like, here's the character, here's this personality, go out there and figure it out, I would nail it.
Oh, God. It's so... I will manifest that for you. And if
I... Elle's a little too prissy for me. No offense. You know, to the other gays that love her. Yeah. Or even the gals that love her. But she's a little too prissy for me. I'm a little raunchy and not that... I don't have a lot of decorum.
Mm, God, I love that. What would you say is either the raunchiest part of your personality now or the raunchiest thing you've done in your history?
I've done some pretty raunchy things. I was just talking. Well, this is kind of gross. So I was just telling somebody about this. We were having a conversation if we've ever pissed ourselves on accident or on purpose. And I was like, oh, I totally have. So I was at this nightclub. There wasn't a bathroom anywhere. Well, there was, but there was a line. I didn't want to wait in line. And I was wearing black jeans. So on the middle of the dance floor, I just pissed myself because I was drunk. And I was like, I ain't waiting in line. I think I was, 21 at the time, 20, something like that. Well, then met this guy. He come and picked me up that I had met a few days prior. And then he took me to his farm at 3 a.m. to look at his horses. And then I vomited everywhere on the horse property. So that's probably the craziest thing I've ever done is ride a horse drunk in urine soaked jeans from Air Apostle.
And that man ended up being Jackson.
It wasn't.
That is a beautiful tale of southern trash. Your urine literally jeans as you bare back a stallion. That is really quite beautifully filthy. Matt and I recently went to Dan Savage has this porn film festival called Hump, and we drove to Long Beach to see the showing with a friend of ours, and one of the films was a gay couple who was basically trying all these new sexual things. It was actually really kind of sweet because they were experimenting and see what they were into. And they tried to pee on each other. And they were in the bathtub and they were also trying to film it to capture it for this film. And they were saying that not only was the pee part a little tough for them, but also holding a camera, holding a phone over your dick as
doing everything.
Yeah, it kind of took them out of it. But I do know I have some, Judies who would not mind a pee on a face, and I wish them well. I kind of love that you can zero in on a kink that doesn't harm anyone, but it's also kind of filthy. That's delicious. I'm going to be honest here. Mine's not nearly in that category, but if I sometimes will see an armpit.
Are you into that?
A little bit. A little bit.
Wait. Keep going.
If I see
what part of the armpit?
Well, the hairy part.
Oh. Well, that's normal. I feel
You thought I was going to talk about fucking an armpit?
Or that, or what do they call it? Natural smells or something?
Oh, no, I'm not a rank bitch, but I do know that those exist. I mean, this is... So, for full transparency, I've started this new sex diary interview that's been on the Patreon, and it's been very fun and exciting. A lot of people are joining, and they should. But now, because I do that, it's starting to now blend into the main podcast, which is maybe not a great thing, but here we are. But I might have been intimate with someone in the not-so-distant past, and, people like pits, and they went to nuzzle into mine and press a tongue to it, and I was wearing deodorant, and that
so
was...
So did they, eat it?
Well, they didn't like it. They went...
Oh.
And,
Well...
You live and you learn. You live, you learn.
I mean, I was gonna circle this whole conversation back to, gay trauma. So I think part of the reason why I would giggle at the thought of him wanting me to do that is because I have a shy bladder. Oh. And as a kid and, as a middle schooler and high schooler, I could walk into a bathroom, there could be 10 urinals, I'm going to the stall because...
Oh, I get
that. Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it, too.
I would change in the stall in PE class. I had such body hair trauma that I would change in the stall, and literally the fucking asshole PE coach would be like, if anybody changes in the stall again, I'm going to dock your grade. And I was like, why do you care where the fuck I change? But I just shaved my whole body anytime I knew that I was going to be in PE, and that talk about trauma. Well,
yeah.
God, I didn't know we were gonna get into pit talk and fucking pee shit, but I'm so thrilled we did. And unfortunately, we have to end this gay ass conversation with a final question I did not prep you on. Dakota, if pop culture of 2004 to 2008 made you gay, as did Tyra and Miss J on ANTM, What is keeping you gay today? Is it a porno? Is it a homo? Is it a pop culture? Talk to Mo.
I have the lamest answer.
What is it?
The lamest answer. The Real Housewives.
Not lame. I think that at is all. What
I think that's what's keeping me gay.
And it shook because they are carrying on their backs. Because now that we have to do the final follow up, what's your favorite franchise, favorite city?
Okay, I'll be super quick. I could talk to you about this all day. I need to come back for a Bravo episode.
Yeah, you do.
Like
yeah,
a
you
strict.
Do.
Okay. Favorite city all time, Atlanta. Not anymore, though. Mm. It's Beverly Hills now. Favorite housewife of all time, Teresa Giudice.
You
I'm
know.
A tree stump, tree hugger, like, defend her no matter what.
Do you reply to people on Twitter protecting Trey?
So I won't engage with people if they are like vile.
Some
on
of the
things,
tree huggers
you know?
Are roof stew.
Oh my God. And I'm like, listen, I'm a tree hugger too, but we ain't got to act like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, you're my favorite type of Bravo person because, you know, and I am a Bravo person too, but sometimes the women in Skokie, Illinois are going too hard on Twitter.com. Dakota Ride, a perfect guest, a perfect ebb. Tell the girls, where can they follow you on the interweb?
So I'm on Instagram at Dakota Wright, TikTok at Print Fairy, don't ask. And then I'm at on Twitter at For To Drink, on YouTube at Dakota Wright. And I think that's everything.
Dakota, a goddamn honor. And I'll see you at the cookout.
All right. Bye, girl.
Such a joy, that Dakota Ride. And for to tag us, go to social media. I want to hear if you enjoyed this episode. Let Dakota know. But before we say goodbye, as promised, here is a free preview of this week's Gay Ass Sex with Connor Tierney, the first top who sent a married man to the hospital. Love ya. So this is the fourth episode of this Gay Ass Sex Diary, and I'm thrilled to be here with a very sexy friend of mine. Now, tell me, handsome man, what would you like to reveal about how we know each other?
We met at a like Sunday fun day party called Hot Dog with you and your husband, and yeah, from there we've been friends ever since, I think.
And the rest is herstory. Now, I want to get straight into this slutty discussion because you identify as a slut, correct?
Yes, big old slut.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So your most recent slutty adventure was mere hours ago. Is it true that you got home at 6 in the morning?
I did get home at 6 in the morning. Well, I got home at 3 in the morning, and then I actually left my house at 6:30 in the morning to continue my night. So
wait, well, let's get into that. What was the night last night? Was it one of those big gay parties?
Yeah, it's a party called Horse Meat Disco, and it's always at like a downtown warehouse, and it's just like walls to walls, like shirtless, sweaty guys, or naked in most parts. And then, yeah, it usually goes till 4 a.m., but got busted by the cops at 2:30.
No.
And I definitely was in the middle of my role. So I had to like Uber home. And that's why like I stayed up forever. So I just like was laying in bed, like, I'm so horny. Truly. And so amped up. I don't want to go to bed.
Well, I'd love to watch the Malcolm in the Middle sequel, Slut in the Middle of His Role at Horse Meat Disco. So obviously there's the New York Horse Meat Disco. This was the LA Horse Meat Disco. It doesn't matter, but they're put on by the same people. Is that okay? So how was last night's Horse Meat Disco before the cops got in there? Did you find yourself being a slut, or was it mostly just a drug-induced dance?
I actually was like pretty well behaved until I did hook up with a guy in our friend group that I thought was cute. And I just was like, right situation, right time in the dark room. And he's like, I don't bottom. And I was like, I suck dick, put it in my mouth. And there we go.
That's a beautiful modern Romeo and Juliet. This is a friend that is in your group. How do you feel post? Well, first of all, how was the dick sucking? Did you enjoy?
Mm-hmm. It was good. All my friends in my friend group are married, so it's kind of like big no pressure about that sort of stuff, which is great. So it was good to kind of just be like, oh, that was as hot as I expected it to be. And there's no real like big consequences just because he already, yeah. I And I'm friends with his partner. So it's like, it's really like no biggie. It just, you know, can't like just hook up with him at random friend, like hangout dinners and stuff.
Had you seen his dick before?
No, I had heard about it. And I heard it was nice, and it was.
Oh, I love that so much. And I assume the partner would not feel any sort of weird way about this?
No, his partner and I have flirted before, and like, I could see us in the future maybe like hooking up too, but it's really like a no pressure kind of deal.
Ugh, I love this. The modern gay friendship of fooking. So you sucked in this dark room. Was that the first and only dick you sucked at this horse meat disco, or were there others?
It was. I did make out with a few guys, but like I said, like also like the later it goes, the more, you know, more inhibitions lower, more people get more comfortable. They want to sneak into the dark room, take a look, and then they see someone and they end up hooking up. Kind of how it like usually goes. But yeah, because it got busted at like 2:30, and it was pretty empty in there most of the night. And a lot of guys hook up on the dance floor. I don't know. It's like it like ebbs and flows in weird ways. This is also like the, I mean, I only started going to these parties when I moved here, and I moved to LA a year and a half ago about now. You're a St. Louis girly, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, yeah. So like in the Midwest, we don't do this here. We don't have these like, I mean, we had like raves, but we definitely don't have dark rooms. And I think it's because like, you know, indecency charges and stuff would be probably pressed a lot crazier in the Midwest. And that was like, I mean, I'm a huge slut. I thought I was a slut in Kansas City. No, not near what I do here. But like, also, I think in a good way, I think the Midwest has like really weird stuff around sex and things like that. And like, I didn't even have sex till I was 19 because I was like, I came out at 16. So I was like dating men and like hooking up with men on apps and stuff. I'm not supposed to at 16, but hooking up with guys on apps and stuff and just like no sex because all we taught was like HIV will kill you, yada, yada, yada. And now with like modern medicine of PrEP and, you know, DoxyPep now, which I've been on for about a year, and it really like takes the worry off of you, which is crazy, which helps you like face, you know, the Midwest bullshit. And kind of like relax into yourself, because I think a lot of people are just held back by like the anxieties of it all that we're all raised around or what you hear. So it's kind of great that I feel like both moving to LA and like advances in modern medicine, to be real, like have really helped me lower my anxieties around sex a lot, which I...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very much the same for me in terms of the shame plus the anxiety. Once you lower those, it actually reveals your true desires. And I think that, of course, we want to be safe and treat our bodies with care, but also we would like to graduate from the years of being told being gay was bad and that sex will always cause pain and death. And now let's put our freak flags high. When you were in the Midwest, however, if I may put my investigative journalist hat on, what would you say was the sluttiest thing you did living in the Midwest versus the sluttiest thing you've done in your past year on the West Coast?
I would say I did a lot more public sex in the Midwest than I do here.
Oh.
But it's because like when I came out, I couldn't hook up at my parents' place because they weren't cool with it. And so I was constantly like sneaking around and be like, meet me in a stairway, meet me in this trail. It was like nonstop public sex, and that pretty much ended the minute I mean, like, public sex is hot, sure, but I'm not like fiending for it. Like, it's not my like particular kink I really crave. So like I would say like public sex drastically dropped, because also I was like in a place where I felt where I could actually explore my sexual like
once
I was like in college. But yeah, I would say in the Midwest, it was definitely like a lot more public sex. That's like how I was more slutty in the Midwest than here, is I don't do that sort of thing.
Are we talking like Walmart parking lots as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like church parking lots, like very Midwest.
He is risen. Did you find yourself plowing hole inside of cars, or was that more for against the brick wall of Mary Ignatius, our heart of palm?
So when I finally had sex in college, I was fucking this guy in the back of his truck. It was like one of those trucks that have those like hardcover, but it's bigger and it has like windows on the side. Covers. So we're hooking up in there, and all of a sudden we see red and blue lights pop up. And I like, we're scrambling, can't find our clothes really. I barely get like jeans on. I can't even find my shirt. I have no socks on. I put my shoes on. The cop like is clearly looking through the driver's window, doesn't see anyone because we're in the trunk. And so we like slowly lower the back so we don't freak him the fuck out, because he can hear it open. And then he definitely was expecting a guy and a girl to like roll out of that trunk. And like, so I walk out and he goes, "Oh, hey, are you and your girlfriend?" And then he stops when like another guy pops out of the trunk. And we both like are like, I'm like smiling really big, being like, my dorm's right over there. We were just talking. Like, I totally started, like, worst lie ever. But I was like, we were just talking. He's going through a breakup. It's really emotional, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so why is your shirt off? I was like, fair question.
My shirt's off because, well, you know, he was cold. When he gets sad, he gets cold. And I wanted
body heat really helps with depression. But somehow he gave us just like, I think he was more uncomfortable with the fact it was like gay guys than like anything, that he just like quickly gave us a warning. It was like, go back to your dorm. Don't be doing this. Like, it was like right next to a park is the bigger issue. And we didn't see that because it was like the dead of night.
Well, I love that your gayness freaked out the government employee cop so much that he was just like, just get out of here, faggots. I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
So then when we moved to Los Angeles, let me ask you about your sexual journey. You are a TOP top, yes?
Yeah, I would say verse top. I like had like a bottoming injury that I like, it took forever to get better, but now I am trying to get better at bottoming.
Well, I'm thankful that you're on the road to recovery. And I know while it's not the sexiest question, I am dying to know, did you sustain this injury during the act of bottoming?
Yes.
To hear the rest of that story and other slutty tales, go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast. And I will see you next week for a gag of a guest. Love ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.